boys, all boys did that. You just film. You did that. You know, just pull. Now, soil, nothing's wrong with soil, but soil is not what you used to treat wound. But you cover it. And you pretend that if it's not there. So a lot of time in our life, we live in pretense. For instance, how are you doing? What should I say? I'm fine now. If I stop and tell you I'm not fine, things are happening. You want to say, excuse me, I'm going to the market. Right? I don't want to hear the truth. And somebody said, Pastor, what are you saying in essence? Now, the truth is not something. The truth is a person. What do I say? The truth is not something. Truth is a person. John 14:6. Okay. He said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, see, now, so that means if Jesus is the truth, then I need to sleep with the truth, marry the truth, conceive my life with the truth. And then I need to, so he said, you have the truth in you. So you have Jesus well in you. And you walk in with Jesus. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I'm going to Jesus' words in John 14 so that we can deal with the truth and really find out the truth about our lives. Because Jesus is our life. Are you listening to somebody here? Okay, let's go. John 14. Verse 28. Let's do some digging today. Let's do some digging to your life. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is what? Now, Jesus was, listen. These guys were not accepting the truth like we do. The apostles had a problem with Jesus. I wish you were there. You had a problem too. They had a problem with Jesus because they just couldn't stomach the truth. So Jesus was going away. And he said, I'm going away and I'll come back. No, you shouldn't go away. Who will feed Peter's wife? Who will defend them from that? See, all they could see is today. And have you ever wondered how long will they continue with Jesus? How long will this continue? Okay, look at you now. You are getting older. How long will this continue? What about retirement? Pastor Emerson, how long will this continue with Tinubu? Don't say anything about that. Will I ever? No. Praise God. You had me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. And I said, if you love me, you will rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father, you see, look at this verse. This verse, quite amazing for me. Now, looking at this verse a couple of days ago, I just saw chapters and chapters and chapters in this verse. Chapters and, that's what I'm doing now. Chapters and chapters in this verse. Like you and I read that verse and I think it's going away. So, and you come back, that means you come back again. And then, if you love me, you will, because I said I'm going. What's rejoicing about that? Then I started saying something more in this verse. That why did he come in the first place? Are we here? Why did he come in the first place? And why is he going back? What should make me happy about that? Please, are we here? I mean, why did he come? Why did he come? Jerry, I hope no problem. Internet, okay, all right. So let's slow down. Now, listen to this. Why did he come in the first place? Why was he going back? And he said he'll go and then he'll come back. What am I going to do with me? Why should I be rejoicing about that? There are no dollars that he's going to bring from up there. He's going. You see? So, I'm looking at this verse. I should be rejoicing because he's going to the Father. Then he complicated it. The Father is greater than I. What's going to do with that? Then I saw something. Listen to this. The first question is, why did he come in the first place? He left the glory of heaven. He became a human being. He was born into this world, correct? Correct. And then he came to the world, and he died on the cross. By that time, he had not yet died. Then he said, I'm going away. To do what? You came from there now. Why do you have to go back there? And I thought you are equal to God before. Now you are coming now. You are saying you are going back to the Father greater than you. Now, I know what you are thinking. Pastor, we believe you come in. By the way, remember, for your soul to prosper is truth. Remember? And who is the truth? Who is the truth? So we must know about Jesus more than ever. By the way, let me do something for you. Hebrews 5. So we need to really be more aware. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, let's look. It's talking about Jesus there. Look at verse 7. Talking about Jesus. Who in the days of his flesh, can you give us? Who, talking about Jesus. Who in the days of his flesh, when he came here, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, was that because of his godly fear? Next verse. And though he was a son, what did he do? Can you look up? Just be with me. And it's, before I get to where I'm going, maybe you wake up now. Yet he learned obedience by the things which he... See this, Jesus was a son. He learned what? Obedience. Jerry, are we okay now? He learned obedience. Are we here? What did he learn? From what he suffered. What did he suffer? We don't know. But what did he learn from what he suffered? Obedience. Let's go now. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who, what? What did he learn from his own suffering? Now, those who follow him now must also do what? Evidently, obedience from what he suffered too. Pastor, you are sounding very complicated today. Now, look at next verse. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, next verse. See, this is where the problem is. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You see, if you notice today, when we are talking like this, talking about Jesus like this, we just think, this is not my concern now. I mean, talking about how I can get dollars. How do I escape this trouble going on? How can I? You know? Sometimes when we're in school, you know, sometimes they'll be discussing, don't concern me, just let me get my certificate and get out. You know, why was he spending, one of the biggest trouble for some of us is that we cannot get you to sit down and eat healthy food. You see, if you live on hamburger and you live on that thing they sell in Lagos, that thing we saw selling on the road, selling for years in Lagos, I told you about the pizza. I want a hawk inside bone lure. Gala, thank you. Yes, the Gala, I was telling you, Gala has been Lagos before all this pizza. It's the Lagos pizza for years. It's what they eat normally. When I go to Lagos in the 80s, I met it, and it has not gone yet. It's a quick salvation out of hunger. I've never eaten Gala before. I've never eaten Gala before. Practically almost everybody, you know. So it's just good. Just not gala. You're on the go. But to eat whole meal is more difficult. So what I really want us to do is to actually eat whole meal. Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you, remember? So this is we need to feed on Jesus. He will be the one to sort out our lives. Are you listening? We need to, Jesus is our truth, is our life. We need to feed on. We need to discover. We need to spend time. What does he want? So I'm talking about, Jesus now. If you are thinking, will he buy anything? I mean, okay, one comment. So, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So you are dull relative to Jesus. You know, when children don't eat very well, they don't respond to life very well. Have you ever seen Kwashiorkor children? They become quite lethargic. Is that the word, sir? They become lethargic. They don't respond quickly. When you start feeding them well, I've seen some of these Kwashiorkor children, they just look like this. Have you seen some of these Ethiopian children? Their eyes big, their stomach bulgy, full of gala. And just looking like that. And you ask the mother, so unje. You know what I'm talking about? It's not eating the food, it's just eating pap. So our real meal is Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do today. Our real meal is sort of everything for us. But when it's difficult to chew and digest healthy food, there's going to be a problem with the kid. Am I making some sense? If all you can digest is gala, and you cannot digest real meal, then it'll be difficult for us to live. You see, the answer to your marriage, to your financial difficulty, is Jesus. Let me put it like this for you. You see, we don't eat like the way you think we eat. We don't eat like, if I have a problem, if I want to carry block now, I don't eat for the food to carry the block. Am I right? If I want to lift this speaker, I don't eat for the food to carry the speaker. I eat the food. It gives me energy and strength. Am I correct? So when I eat that food, it turns me to another kind of capable person to pick the speaker and to pick the cement. Now, Jesus is the most capable food we can eat to make us fully alive. I'm making some sense? So we have to really get into, let me give an example. Jesus said, Bible says, husband, love your wife as Christ did what? Love the church. So if I don't know how Christ loves, I can't fully live as a husband. If husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. You tell yourself, my husband is not serious. If you actually know what Christ and the church is, and you really let Christ influence you more, and you understand the truth about the church as the body of Christ, it will be easier. You don't have to have counseling over and over again. For instance, about your job, you complain about the bosses there. But if you come to see that when you go to work, you are there as servant of Christ, and you are there serving Christ, and your real boss is Christ, that will change everything. What did I say now? Colossians 3, 21. Take a look. 22. Let's go. Let's jump quickly. My time is running. Okay. Can you give us in? Okay. Let's born servant or the Bible says employee. Okay. Give us TPT. Can you give us TPT? Thank you. TPT. Okay. Let every employee listen well and follow the what? Of their employers, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. See, this is not in the land of normal human. The normal thing to do at work is to, for we are to live our life with pure heart in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Next verse. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for who? So it's the Lord that matters, and not merely for others. So I'm not just a nurse talking to a patient. I'm not just a teacher just talking to a student. I'm not just a pastor talking to sheep. I'm standing before the Lord, and I'm serving the Lord Christ. Now, if I don't get the Lord clearly, I can't do it better. No matter the tips and techniques you give to me about my marriage, about my finance, I will keep on flopping. I'll keep on messing up because I don't have the grand food nourishment to make it happen. tips and techniques are good, but if I'm not eating, I cannot pick up the tips and techniques to carry the cement from the top or from the back. Either way will break my back. Is that all right? Makes some sense? So we need to actually feed on Christ. Let's go to John chapter 6. Hallelujah. Some of you over here, I know you like food. When you see good food, let me get on your case. When you go to a party and you see your kind of food there, your eyesight following it. And you know, the rice, this is coming from there. You know, start following it. What is it? I don't want this one. I want that one. You say, hey. I caught you. Hey, you know, I go back, when you see amala like this, you know, amala is so expensive these days, you don't eat it at home. As flowing. You ask for meta. Praise the Lord. See, because you can trace it. You want that. That's the way you should be tracing Christ as your food. As the best meal we can ever eat. John chapter 6. Come and see. That's why I'm introducing my subject so we can go into it. John chapter 6. Wow, hallelujah. 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 Look at verse 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has unlimited life. Next verse. I'm the bread of life. I'm not just, you see, the bread that you eat around is the bread of existence. That's not the bread of life. What's the name of the bread you eat, all the breads you eat in town, the physical bread, is just for existence. It's for your existence here. But the real bread of life is Jesus. It's the one who gives meaning to life. Because life as just life, biological life, is just biological life. It doesn't have any sense. It doesn't have any sense why we're alive. There's no sense except there's a bigger meaning. Why should a woman be cooking in the house over and over again? There should be a bigger meaning to that. Praise God. Let's keep reading. I'm the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Physical bread. Next verse. But this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. See, that word death there doesn't mean that you physically die. It means that you are not just packed together. See, when somebody dies, we pack them out of activity. We put them inside a coffin. We lock them up in the ground to them to rot away. You're not put on this planet just to rot away. You're just put here to be inactive and everything is acting on you. For instance, there are bacteria in their air now. They never grow in your body to make you to rot. The moment somebody dies, start rotting away. Why? There was life there before that was not rotting. But after it left, that's why the whole world is rotted and corrupt. So Jesus said, "Eat that, eat of this bread, will not die. Will not, even when death come at you, you know how to put that and knock it out and push yourself out of it." Let's keep reading. Let's go on. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live completely, totally, and sincerely. That's the meaning of that word forever there. He will live, you know, he will not live just living on this, living on that, picking that, like a scavenger. You know scavengers? Just scavenger, you know, to put life together one way or the other. Just, you know, no, he said, he won't be a scavenger. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I like give for the life of the world. Let's jump down to verse 53. Okay, verse 52. Give us verse 52. The Jews therefore quarrel among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You know, they're just thinking of physical, putting their mouth on and eat. Next verse. Jesus said, most as well I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That means you take the totality of the man, not just physical flesh and blood. You get to Jesus like Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death so I can live fully alive. Not just like everybody's living, but living fully alive. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Next verse. For whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up. You know, a lot of Christians today, you see them in church, they're full of activities, but there's no life. They're full of activities, you know. You know, I used to laugh, you know, my wife, you know, we just talk. And we say, is a church member? Yes. Which group is in? It's in Usher. What does that mean? That means that it's regular, it's relevant with the Lord. You know, can I say something over here that I want to say in main service? You know, we used to have a group years ago that they put jacket on them. I understand them or the group in church. And at Saint Castle, that's what I look now. You know, we got this group, they just wear jackets in church. Everybody who didn't know anything about Bible joined that group. They were let me not use bad word. You know, they would like to stand up wearing jacket, but nothing else is happening in their life. From head to toe. Are you hearing me? One lady, she was in UK. She was busy in the church. All of us know the church. Top three in Nigeria. The number 1, 2, 3 church in Nigeria. This girl, she was working there. She was active in the service. And she came to Nigeria and married a Muslim. And they said, why? She said, I'm a Muslim. But you're in church and serving activities. I'm just serving God here. Can you imagine that? So there's no encounter with life. It's just, I mean, let's just do it. I mean, what's the difference between being an usher in church and being an usher at that $1 billion startup? What's the difference? Some people think that this is just like a motivational talk. Just say some few words and then you go on. It's all right, but it's life. Sorry, I hope I've not stepped on anybody's toes. Okay, just remove your toes so I can pass through. Praise God. Does it make no sense? So what I'm saying in essence is this. We need to eat Christ. We need to really... So back to John 14, 28 now. After I've cleared all that debris. John 14, 28. We should be tracking Jesus. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So we should be keeping our eyes tracking Jesus. That's our real food. That's our real life. Tracking Jesus. Going after him like you are tracking your best meal. Like when you get something ordered from Jumia and it's expensive, you're following through. You're checking tracking number. You're checking the order. What's going on? So Jesus must be tracked in our lives. If Jesus must be followed, for instance, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. What does that mean? Now, let me drop it for you. He came from there, left his glory as God, divested all his privileges, came here, became a man. And after 30 years, he became a minister of the gospel. He preached. But actually was called by Jesus as a name, Savior. Am I right? You know why they call him Jesus? Matthew 1, 21. Praise God. Matthew 1, 21. I hope I'm correct. And he will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from what? Their sins. So he came here to save. Now listen to this. This is where I'm going. As a savior, he lived the air to save us, and to save us, he became the sacrifice. Because if you are going to save something, somebody has to sacrifice. Okay, somebody's drowning inside water. Somebody has to go after the person. Am I right? Sacrifice. Somebody is owing huge debts. Somebody has to come and pay the money, or else it won't be legally released. Am I making some sense? So Jesus, in order to save us, became the sacrifice. He said, I'm going away. Remember? Okay, let's go back now. John 14, 28. Now you see what I'm talking about now. John 14, 28. Give us an NKJV. Thank you. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away. So what is going away now? Now I've been here now. I'm serving God. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm teaching, preaching, healing you. But I'm going away to become the sacrifice. I'm going away to become the victim for your life. I'm going away to clear all the account concerning you. That's why you should be happy. Am I right? If I'm going the way to get money to pay your debt, you should be dancing. You should be rejoicing. So that going the way is packed with a lot. You have to unpack it. And I'm coming back to you as what? And if you love me, you rejoice because I'm going to the Father. For what? Now wait, this is the beautiful thing about this. So this is Jesus now. He's a savior. He came, he preached, taught, and healed. And he got to the cross and became the sacrifice. A savior to save us became the sacrifice himself. And he offered this life. 3 days and three nights after he became sacrifice, what did he become next? The sacrifice was accepted 3 days later. God said, now arise from the dead, you are my firstborn son. Now, Jesus must become something else or somebody else. He can't be just only Savior. He saved us. He becomes sacrifice. What next? Now, he rose as high priest or priest. He came from heaven, from the Father. But listen now, this is why we should rejoice. He came from heaven to bring the Father to us. But now, when he rose from the dead, he's going to heaven to take us there. That's not the best word. Not to take us there. Mm-mm. It's now to go and represent us there. To be the man representing all of us. It's not going there any longer just as God as he came. It's going back as man fully alive. God, man. That's why I said the Father is greater than I. Because though he is God, he's also human. So when Jesus entered heaven after he rose from the dead, he's now standing for all of us. He's representing all of us. When he came representing God to us. But now he's leaving us to go and represent us before God. Like the House of Rep, like Senate. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Whoa. We're going to unpack all that. So we have a rep there. Praise God, somebody. And they're not only sharing money in heaven. I'm only sharing money in heaven. He's watching. Okay. Hallelujah. I told you last week, I said, there's prophet, there's priest. A prophet comes from God and thunders his words, declares messages to people. That's why prophets feel funny. They don't act normal. Like John the Baptist, you can see grasshopper leg sticking out of his mouth, his clothes, jeans like pastor. Are you hearing me? You know, and living in the wilderness. I say, repent. Wow. But then, that's the prophet. And you know, the prophet John said, that's the Lamb of God, remember? That will take away the sin of the whole world, remember? John said, that's the Lamb of God. That's the sacrifice that God's going to offer. It's the universal sacrifice for man. Now listen now. Jesus now became the sacrifice. Now, that's the prophet. But Jesus now is not, when he rose from the dead, is no longer as a prophet. He's going to God now as a priest. And when I say priest, all you're thinking about is Roman Catholic priest or Anglican priest. So who is a priest? The word priest from the word pontifex, which means bridge. What do I say? Bridge. You see, what is a bridge? You don't know what a bridge is until it's broken. You see, when you go to Ijaye, you pass by a bridge. If that bridge is broken, we are all sealed there, and they are all sealed there. And if it's a big river, some guys will start making money with canoe and be ferrying us across. Am I right? Am I right? But then, the moment they put the bridge back, we can cross from here and we can cross from there and we can meet together on that bridge. I'm making some sense? So Jesus is the bridge builder. So now, listen. When Jesus came in Christmas, he came bringing God to us. God, Emmanuel, God with us. But on Easter Monday, it's now man going to God. Now, they can say in the heavenly circle, man with us. Finally, a man is with us. We lost that man in the garden. But now we are having the man back. Like Adam should have been our federal rep, would have been our house of rep, but he went to go and share and he lost out. He and his wife shared the wrong food. It's always food, no? You know? And they gave us trouble. But now, Jesus didn't do that. He even gave us his life. I'm making some sense this evening. So, Jesus now, our priest, is no longer himself. Like when he came for God. Now he's going to heaven for us. He came from heaven for God to us. Now, he left here to go to God for us. Let's go. Hebrews 8. This is the summary of what I'm saying. Give us an NLT. NLT. Let's look at it. Here is the main point. This is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. See, when you see that word high priest, you read your Bible, priest, okay. Roman Catholic, Jesus, one of them, sign off, I've read my daily devotion this morning, is the high priest. But what does that mean? Jesus, we have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor. Who is the high priest? Now, listen, 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 are you here? The purpose of the prophet is to come and warn you. God's going to come and deal with you. The purpose of the priest is to come and beseech God to look away from his wrath. To the priest, you see, the prophet had what they call feeling of God's zeal. God, you can't treat God like that. God is going to do something about that. God, you know. But the priest goes with the feelings of the people. He carries people's pains, issues, problems. Himself is living among them. He's one of them. So he goes to God and he presents himself and say, God, this is us. So Jesus is in heaven now. Not just keeping company with God as God, but keeping company with God as man. So wherever God turns, when he looks at his son, he sees us, his wrath laid aside. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? So we are in him now. See that word, in. If any man is in Christ, we'll come to that in minutes. So here is the main point. And you must know the main point. What's the main point? If you don't know the main point, you've spent wrong time in the class. Who sat down? Now listen, can I surprise you? There's no chair for anybody, including the priest, in the temple of Jerusalem. The temple of, what's the name? Tabernacle of Moses. There's no chair there. They just come in and stand and minister and minister. When you are tired, there's no chair like this. You just stand. No chair. When you feel like that, you just go collapse on the bed when you get home. Or get outside the tabernacle and you sit down. There's no seat. But Jesus, you see, you only sit when you finish the work. Jesus sat because he finished the job well. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? He finished the work. He did what God wanted 100% total, complete, comprehensively. So he's sitting now in the place of, you see, give us an NKJV. Okay, all right. See, let me show you something. See that word. We have such a high priest who seated. Remember, we said, let's go more about Christ. Are you here with me today? Let's go more about Christ today. Let's go more about Christ. Can we go more about Christ today? Because Christ is our real life. Am I correct? If you're just coming in, we talk about, if you've been listening on here, you know, Jesus is what we should be feeding on. We should contemplate him, get hold of him. So let's look at this. Such a high priest, we're coming to high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. So all this Quaker majesty on earth, forget about them. His majesty, I just laugh. Huh? So what is the right hand of the throne? Or is it like this? God sit down. Where's his right hand? Right. So Jesus sit here. So who sit on the left hand? Holy Ghost. Interesting. Many of us, that's what we see in our mind. When we say, he's seated at the right hand of God. So the right hand of God, Jesus is here. Who is here? Holy Michael. Oh, who? Now, one day I read my Bible and I was confused. You know my problem? I read in the book of Acts and it said, okay, so if Jesus sits at the right hand of God, so where is God to Jesus? Answer me. Thank you, sir. So if God is here and Jesus is at the right hand of God, so he will say, God is on my left. And God will say, Jesus, you are my right. Are we here? Then I found a verse. Jesus said, the Father is at my right. Well, I better. Let's see it. Acts 3. So when he says, the right hand of God, let's know what it means. Just mean, Odu kusi egbe otun, owo otun e. Otun ba. I never heard of Usiba. I never heard of that. Acts chapter 3. He was talking about John, you know, Peter was preaching about Jesus and was talking about Jesus. Look at verse 23. Talking about Jesus being delivered. They're coming back here. And it shall be that, no, Acts 3, 23. Okay. It shall be that every soul, no, I'm reading, oh sorry, Acts 2:23. All right. Men of Israel, 23, in Jesus, being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Look at next verse. Let's keep on reading. Whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Okay? Look at next verse. For David says concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Who is speaking there? Jesus, right? For he's at my what? Okay, so who is at the right hand? Now, if the Father is seated, are you still here with me? He said, we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand, right? Of the throne, the majesty in heaven. So if Jesus, if the Father is sitting like this, physically speaking, if that's the meaning, Jesus is on the what? Right hand. So if Jesus sits beside the Father, so the Father will be on this. But he said, he's at my right hand, and I may not be shaking. So I came to see that. That word, right hand, does not mean physical right hand, sitting like that. What is the place called right hand of the Most High? Ephesians 1. Let's go. Verse 23. If I'm correct. Okay. Let's back off to verse 21. Okay. Verse 20. Okay. Verse 19. It's going to back off. I'm talking about, yes. The eyes, go back. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of God's mighty power. Now look at next verse. Look at next verse. Which the Father worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him where? At his right hand in the what? In the heavenly places. So where is that? It's not a physical sitting down. Where's that place? Look at next verse. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. In the original word, that time, when they say somebody sitting at the right hand of someone, it means to share equality in his power. You know what I just said? It means a joint sitting with him that is wielding the same power of the throne that the person that called him dear has, like Joseph. Are you hearing me? Joseph, when Pharaoh said, I am making you. Let me show you. Genesis 41. I hope you are here. That's our man. Am I correct? Don't forget that. It's our man, Jesus. Genesis 41. Hallelujah. Genesis 41. Good. Beautiful. Let's find the verse. Verse 39. Genesis 41, 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning, as wise as you, and wise as you. What's the next verse? Next verse. Next verse. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne. Only in regard to the throne will I be what? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. So, the Father seated Jesus on his right hand. That doesn't mean that, oh boy, so I'm there. No, it means that the Father transferred the throne power, like Pharaoh transferred all the authority of Egypt to Joseph. So he will not say anything, he will not do anything. You go to Joseph. When they were hungry, they came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. Remember? Joseph's name, the name of Pharaoh, has been given to Jesus, to Joseph. In all the land of Egypt, Joseph is it. He said, I give you authority to rule my household. Am I correct? Verse 40. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word, only in regard to the throne. So he said, I'm going to my father, for my father is what? Wow, you got it. So the father's throne is what he's sharing. Pastor, can you look at me? Who can you go home? Who can you seriously? Because without Joseph, you go hungry. You see, if you look at Egypt was spared of all the problems because Joseph was there. If there was no Joseph, there'd be no life in Egypt. It would have gone down like other part of the country. And by the way, he gathered grains. The seed is the word of God. Christ has gathered grains to feed us for eternity. Is the bread of life. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Praise the Lord. So, what is the throne? What is the right hand of God? It's not it's sharing in the throne power. The power, the throne, the only thing that God, the Father, has above me that is sit on the throne. But the power of that throne is executed by Jesus. That's why the Father gave him the name above all names. Am I making some sense? Let's go back to Ephesians 1, reading. Verse what? 19 or 20. Okay, verse 20. And the Father, which walked in Christ, risen from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Where is that place? Far above all principality and power. And all these words, you don't know the meaning. Just agree, just accept it first. And might. And dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Be with me, I need your help. The high priest, next verse. And he put all things under his feet, everything under his feet, and gave him to be the weight. Be with me. I need your help. He put all things under where? Not under him. Under what? His feet. Is my feet my head? No. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, what's the church? This verse. Which is his body. So, where is the feet attached to? To the head or to the body? Answer me. You're looking at me. You need the biology. Look at yourself. If your head attached to the feet, you are in Fagunwa. You know Fagunwa? Ibu Eleri. You are, what do you call them now? Inwe. You know? See, Jesus is the head. We are the body. The feet is the lowest part of the body. So the lowest of all Christians. He put all things under his feet. Now, this Bible, let's read Message Bible. You just put icing on the cake from verse 19. You know, in the Christianity, come on. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us, who trust in endless energy, boundless strength, like Joseph, the whole of Egypt, everything. No limits. The power of the throne. Let's keep reading. Next verse. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death. You see, the man who wrote this Bible was a serious Bible scholar. And set him, no, he didn't say right hand now. He didn't say right hand. He said, set him on a throne in deep heaven. The throne of God became the throne of Christ. Like the throne of Pharaoh became the throne of Joseph. Am I correct? So he set him on a, go back. He set him on a throne in deepest heaven. Now, for what? Look at next verse. In charge of running what? The universe. Everything from galaxies to government. Power, might, dominion. From what? No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. Let's now hear the icing on the cake. Look at next verse. He's in charge of it all. Has the final word on earth. I'm screaming. I have to scream. I can't say it small. I can't say it neat. At the center of all this, you don't understand that. Christ rose the church. See, the center of this country is that Federal Executive Council. Am I true? They meet every Wednesday. Prof, am I correct? They meet every Wednesday. They have minister, and they are the ones who execute the things of Tinubu. Am I right? Works, housing, environment, oil, energy, planning, digital economy. They sat down with him. We are the church at the center of it all with Jesus.
Pastor, I live in Abeokuta. I'm not part of Dapo Abiodun.
Small thing. Dapo Abiodun is no power, nothing. 8 hours. Oh no, 8 years, not 8 hours. They even count years in Bible as hours. 8 hours, he'll be out. At the center of all this, Christ ruled the church. Look at next verse. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So the church is not RFC, Redeem, Trem. What else is your pastor's name? Huh? Oh God, you know, someone said, this is hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. We don't be a Christian anymore now. We don't be a Christian anymore. You know, my wife usually get my lamentation. You know, I just lament. Like yesterday, I was lamenting. She sat down, listened, lament. She walked to the room like, Jeremiah, lamented. Then she get up and say, praise the Lord. Then she go back. And I started again already. You know, I said yesterday, I was just confused. I was just standing confused. I said, you know what? Even look at the world today. Look at the church. There's no difference. What do we do? You go to party, they celebrate 70 years anniversary, 60 year anniversary. That's what we do. This is what we do. That's nothing about Christianity. That's nothing about Christ. That's nothing about that. Just that. And Mura Nuba. I said, Fuji sang the same thing to Fuji, Kakui, and you did by you. Mura Nuba. It's the same thing. All of us, it's the same thing. What's different between us and Christ? I have to look at me like that. I started again. I said, you know, just this, when we go to party, we preach Christ. Now, we don't preach Christ anymore. We just preach Anu. Ori Anu Bani. You know, I said, today. You can't see the difference between Christian and no. Then when I finished my ranting, I got up. She got up. Good night. You know, if you just look at us today. I was, you know, sometimes what we do in church and what we do in the party, they look alike. They look really alike. You know, I'm passing Ijinle, Nino Ijinle. Ujin Loba, I'm going to go. Ijinle, Nino Ijinle. The church, you see, it's not peripheral. The church is not just part of the thing. No, it's the center. It's what's going to be forever. Your birthday is irrelevant. Your death is irrelevant. Your birth is irrelevant. Something has come in. If any man is in Christ, it's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all are becoming, and all things are of God. You're going to live forever. Your rebirth day is when you got born again. That one is for your flesh. You will die. Pastor, why did you also celebrate birthday? I'm in trouble now. Timbasi, wala bele. You don't come to church anymore, so let's do birthday. But I'm not counting my life from when I was born. I count my life from when I was born again. And that life will never end in Christ. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Those days, when we go to, when we have funeral, you know what we take next? Was he born again? Now, today, everybody's glorious exit. An icon. You know? People will weep those days. Ah, mama, my mom, Jesus, no aye. Today, a rack of mama, one Jesus. Boa. Boa. Like say, all of us are graduates. School, no. Oh, I'm making some sense this evening. So Jesus is our high priest seated where? At the right hand, Hebrews 8, verse 1. We're talking about Jesus, which is our real food, our real life. Let's go. Okay. Can you give us in a Message Bible? Let's look at it. Let's see what it says. Maybe we say, in essence, we have just such high priest, authoritative, right alongside God. Let me tell you that word, that they are authoritative. It means that this high priest has right to speak before God. We're going to see that. That means when he says, Daddy, you have to take care of Shola. We can't leave him like that now. You know, he's just finishing school and he needs to, you know, I know what it takes because of the pains and the cries he has and the tears of his workplace. The father will say, I'm listening. Some people can plead for you. You don't have the authority before the person. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. You know, sometimes when you really mess up, dad just say, get out. Mommy will now come in. And when mommy finishes, you say, but I love that day. But if you go and get your uncle, they are not fighting, they are also fighting together. If you even fight you more, that you went to go and report his problem at home with. To let's go back. So let's go to NKJV. Let's trace this quickly. My time is running. Hallelujah. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. I want you to see something that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he rose as what? High priest. Building bridges between our pain, our struggle, our life, our tears. You know, Bible says, put my tears in a bottle. Have you ever seen that verse before in your Bible? Let me show you. Psalm 56. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. This will take our prayer life to another level. What does it say we open to? Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings. You know, sometimes life is like wandering. To be honest with you, life is like wandering. I saw that 2 days ago. I just look at Moses' life. Anybody, can you look up here? I saw Moses' life. It's like wandering. He was born in a house. Said they are going to kill all the firstborn or the boys. He was taken out, put in a box, left on water. And on the water there, who found him? The daughter of Pharaoh carried him to his house. Can you just... Now, the mother became the nurse for Moses. What a wandering. I just can't imagine that somebody's own Ayo. And then I'm the one that is doing the guardian for Ayo. My daughter, you know? So, and then he got on there. And he grew up in a house where I never really belonged. Come, just be one of the greatest men in the Bible. And he grew up there, was double conflicting identity for 40 years. That's a wandering. Who am I? Egyptian? No. Who am I? Bible says, when he was 40, it came into his heart. Finally, his heart stepped in and said, look, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Jacobian. I'm an Israelite. And he took some step and sent him to worse wandering. The moment he killed that guy, trouble occurred. And all that glory, all that blessing, all that stuff, what the greatest mistake of your life? What a wandering. Some of you over here, your life is like that. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make meaning. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make meaning. You know, the same job 20 years now. Huh? Hello? Now, he got out of Egypt by skin. I mean, and he got to a place. Listen, you won't believe this. And he got to a place and met a man that gave him a job that will never, never recognize in Egypt. The Bible said shepherds are to the Egyptians abomination. Pharaoh doesn't like to see shepherds, the abomination. Can you imagine the prince of Egypt doing abominable job? So here you are. Get up every day. Take the chalk. Past participle. Current participle. Chemistry. Let's look at this substance. Or plant disease. I mean, it looks senseless. But you know what? That same wandering. And it will take the flock. This is really senseless. The flock, every day, you take them out. They can't talk. They can't speak. They just go around with him. Huh? And the owner of the flock saw that he married his daughter. So he will never leave the job. Do you hear me? Just lock him down. Because if you want to run away, you are a woman. So you get up every day. Have you ever thought that? One night you will sleep. You sleep and remember Egypt. Don't you think so? Desert. He had lived in the palace. He lived in big, like White House. He's wondering. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, what am I doing, Abeokuta? Anybody like me? What am I doing here? You know, I come in here, go out, come in, go in, go in out. For goodness sake. What's in the world? You don't know me. What are you doing? Just shut up. By now, it's been saying patient. I've seen that before. I know what you're talking about. You're arguing with me. I know what you've done before. I've seen your type. But you get up every day, dress up, go down there. That's what Moses was doing. And you know, he took those animals out. 40 years, 40 solid years, the same years he spent in Egypt. And one day, he saw fire burning. It was normal for fire to burn in the desert, because it's hot. But he has not left his curiosity. I hope you have not lost your curiosity. Even in the midst of teaching past participle, I hope you are noticing that brilliant student. I hope you are noticing that patient that's recovering and getting better. I hope you are noticing that the sales, they are actually good this time around. I hope you are noticing that. A person just wandering through life. You know what we do? You know, my wife and I, we got married, we struggled, we built a house, put a room over there. They're all gone now. Huh? Hello? Then they call us on the phone. Hello, Daddy. That's what's reduced to. Huh? She's just wondering. In the first place, why did we start this project in the first place? But you know my consolation, our parents did it on us. Later I wonder, they are Jack Ma. You won't know Jack Ma too, because if you didn't Jack Ma, you won't be here. How many of you are in your parents' village now? How many of you are in your parents' village? You Jack Ma too now. Your one is small, the other one bigger. And I want children too, their one will be bigger too. Maybe they go to the moon. We don't know. But you know what? One day he was doing that in tears and in pain. His life no more meaningful. He was doing that. And then the fire, and God said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he fell on his face. And God said, that's your occupational rod. That's your occupation. That's your rod. It's not the rod of God. Do you know that Jesus had the same problem? I know some of you won't believe this. Jesus had the same problem. He had meaninglessness confronting him. He cried tears, said tears. One time, it was bloody. The tears, the sweat was bloody. Let me show you. Hebrews 5. So you can be our high priest. Let's jump. My time is up. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Let's go to, let's say we should go to Hebrews 5 verse 7 quickly. My time is gone. Who in the days of his flesh, Jesus, when he had offered prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death? It was hard because of his godly fear. Jesus would get up in the morning and wonder, what am I doing here? I'm God. What am I doing here? It's crazy. I can't have decent food, run around with Peter and James and John, all these ragamuffin, riffraffs. Judas is a thief in my camp and I can't touch him yet. Wow. And Pharisees line up like that. Just ask Elijah. Fire will do the job. Tell them to swear. And he will hold himself back. Every day. Every day. The day I discovered something that really blew my mind, it shocked me. And I think I've told you before. He just woke up every day. There was no rest. Sabbath day was part of his work. And you know what? Thousands, every day, thousands broken, damaged humanity. Wait. What will you be like if you are the one, you are Benz? Are you listening? You made Benz cars. And then you come to Mechanics Village and every sick Benz in Ogun State is coming to you. How will you feel? You know, one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you cope? The man you made, the glorious thing you made, they're all broken, busted, kicked around. Some of them are your enemies. You wake up every day. I said, Lord, how do you cope? Every day. No rest. You have leave. You never had leave. And you know what? I thought about today. They have department in hospital. They have O&G. They have pediatrics. They have surgery. Christ was the surgery. He was the O&G. He was the test lab. Everything's coming to him every day. Every day. Every day, and they are sick humanity, broken humanity, mad one, full of demons, the ones you made. Can you imagine? You take the bench you have made, you put all kinds of things. You now see somebody carrying firewood with it. What will you feel? But why am I saying all this? Hebrews 4, verse 14. Round up. We're going to read some books today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4. Or maybe we should back off a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 2 verse 17 and make it clear a little bit. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. Give us an NLT. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. his brothers and sisters so that he could be our what? Merciful and faithful what? Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. He knew the extent of the sin. So he knew how far the sacrifice can go. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 14, and I'll round up. We'll stop there. And we have, believe me, the book we read today, great, about how you can be led by the Spirit of God. So then, since we have what? A great high priest who has what? Entered where? We know he has entered. Why did he enter? Let's go to Hebrews 9. Hallelujah. Verse 24. We'll come back later here. Can you look up, everybody? For Christ did not enter into what? Holy place made with what? He didn't go to the temple, Jerusalem. But which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered where? Where did he enter? Into heaven itself to appear now before God. On what? Hallelujah. Do you know that? I wish I have time. I will have shown you about the high priest of the Old Testament. That's a regalia they wear. Not all these bishops when they wear today. That's a regalia they wear. They have something called ephod and the breastplate on their chest. Are you listening? Every name of the 12 tribes, with done with precious stones, is written on the chest. Do you have the picture of the high priest, if you can? And they put the picture on him, or every tribe is like a pouch like that, and they name the pictures, the precious stone, that is carrying the whole of Israel in his heart. Praise God. You know, I don't know about you. I hope this is making some sense. For those of us who are younger here, we think, what's life? What's our tomorrow will be like? For those of us who are older, we're looking, what's all my life? What's the point? He had entered. Give us in NKJV. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the copies of the, but into heaven itself, now to appear. Where? For who? For who? For who? This is where Roman Catholic got it wrong. They said Jesus has gone to heaven and is standing like that. And Holy Mary is begging him. Right? So they say, Holy Mary, pray for us. Mary herself needs Jesus to plead for her. Huh? She was there when they were going through all that. At Pentecost, thank you. So it's appear, tell yourself, Christ is in heaven for me. Sit down with me. He's in heaven for me. Now, can I surprise you? Is it not in heaven discussing heavenly things? Angels are doing that. Angels are doing that. It's not discussing about the throne, about house, about prophet place, about sanctuary. It's discussing us. In Abeokuta, at Totoro, your life right now. He's not looking at his throne and his glory. He's not looking at the floor. He's not looking at the gold and saying, I like this place. All he's thinking about is about you. They call him intercessor. So he's gone there. What's an intercessor? Somebody who stands in between. Does that make some sense? Stand in between. So Jesus has gone to heaven to stand in between the Father and us. So every time he meets the Father, his whole garment, his old thinking is about us. This is how they put it. We are in him. Did you hear that? We are his body. Hear that? It's the head. Right? Right? If we are the body, so when he enters there, he enters with us. Right? Right? Can I surprise you? Every part of your body has a representative in your head. Every part of your body. Every part with the, what you call afferent and efferent nerve. Am I correct? Everything has over here. In fact, when somebody has stroke, nothing's wrong with their leg. It's something in the head. That blood has spilled over there. Something has happened. So you can't have spiritual stroke because your head is correct. Your head, Jesus, in the headquarters is correct. You can have spiritual stroke where you become demobilized in life. I hope this is sinking in. But what I'm just saying, many of you are saying, you are saying, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm feeling. Does he really know what I'm feeling? He was here. He suffered. He went through pain. Let's go back to Hebrews 4. Let's round up. Verse 14, quickly. Let's round up this up. Can we get ready? We'll read some book tonight. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do what? Let us hold fast our confession. You have to say this to yourself. He cares for me. He understands. I'm not alone here. I'm not finished. There's a hope for me over there. There's someone there for me. If nobody else pray for me, he's there as my intercessor. He's watching over me. So I sing because Stabola can help us here now. I know he's watching over the sparrow. He cares for me. Pastor, I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. Now lie. Those who are with us are more than they that are with them. You may lack things in this life. They are just luxuries we need. You may not have them. Do you know what? The person who has 5 bags of rice in the store and the person who has 1 congo of rice in the store, they are both equal. Because they will eat only one part at a time. If you have 3 beds in your house and 1 bed in your house is one you sleep on. If you try to sleep on 3 beds, we take you to Aru. You do like this, you do like this, you do like this. You know something's wrong with you. Next verse. Therefore, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with what? But was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what's the conclusion? Next verse. Let us come boldly to the throne because we have someone there. Praise God. I'm from Osun State. When the chief of army staff died, I didn't know that. I didn't know where I was from. They just mentioned the name of his town. And I remember, it's from Ilobu. I know Ilobu. When the man died, rest of us just said, oh, he's dead. Report. But the whole town is mourning for him. You don't thanks for them that you're not yet finished. And I think the uncle that bought the NDA form for him said he regretted buying the form for him. He never knew that he would go down there and die. I don't feel anything. It's not one of us. Jesus feels because he's one of us. Does that make some sense? He's our town man. Hallelujah. Jesus. Can you close your eyes and say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. That you know. That you feel. That you understand. That you care. You know where I am. You know what's happening to me. You know my limits, my struggle, my pain, my tears, and your bottle. And my future is in your hand. My possibilities, you know. You know what you can do with my life. You know how you can go with my life. You know how to meet my needs. You know my tomorrow's miracle. You know my past pain that I'm running away from. I know you know all this. And I'm glad you know because you care. That knowledge for me is not disturbing. It's comforting because the one who knows cares and is watching over me. Thank you. No matter what is happening, I know that my life strikes enough chord in you because you are the head over the body and I belong to the body. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate you today. Glory be to you, Jesus. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Now, prayer becomes easier. We'll see that next week. Prayer becomes easier. So I don't have to talk to God and tell him. I just say, that's why we said, in the name of Jesus. That's the meaning of the name of Jesus. When I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, he's saying, Father, is there. You understand everything. Hallelujah. One of the things we want to start another book tonight about Jesus' connection with us is the Spirit of God, how we can be led by the Spirit of God. It's a fantastic book. This book, I read it regularly because Jesus appeared to this man in 1959, thereabout, and Jesus discussed with him about how to be led by the Spirit. How does he get us through? We're going to start today with introduction, and then we'll get from there. I hope you have over there introduction. Follow me. You have everything? Or chapter 1 straight away? Can we have introduction at the beginning there? Thank you. So we just read that one. Sister Kevin, let's welcome her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so new book tonight, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. If you'd like to have the book, we'll drop it to the community and we can have that. Okay, can we have tonight introduction? Possible? All right. Let's just wait. I hope that was not factored in before. Is the mic on? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's this introduction here.
Good evening, church. In February 1959, in El Paso, Texas, the Lord appeared to me in a vision. He came into my room at 6:30 in the evening, sat down in a chair by my bedside, and talked with me for an hour and a half. I tell more about this in the book, but I want to emphasize something here first. He talked to me about the ministry of the prophets, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Then he said, I did not put prophets in the church to guide the New Testament church. My word says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you listen to me, I am going to teach you how to follow my Spirit. Then, I want you to teach my people how to be led by the Spirit. I am ashamed that I have let many years go by without teaching too much along this line. Occasionally, I would get into the edge of it, but I did not really teach on it. So, in recent times, the Lord has stirred me up, and now I am beginning to teach more on this subject. This book is a part of that stirring. Chapter 1, The Lamb of the Lord. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 14. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, 16. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 20, 27. Children of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Another translation of Proverbs 20, 27 reads, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Had this verse been written today, it might have read, the spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. What it means is this: God will enlighten us. He will guide us through our spirits. Many times, however, we see guidance by means other than the way God said. When we do, we get into trouble. We sometimes judge how God is leading by what our physical senses tell us. But nowhere does God say that God will guide us through our physical senses. Too often we look at things from a mental standpoint and endeavor to reason out things. But nowhere does the Bible say God will judge us through our mentality. The Bible does not say that the body of man is the candle of the Lord, nor that the mind of man is the candle of the Lord. It says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God will guide us. He will enlighten us through our spirit. Now, before we can understand how God does lead us and guide us through our spirits, we have to understand the nature of man. We have to understand that man is a spirit, that he has a soul, and that he lives in a body.
Yeah, praise God. I read this book donkey years ago. It set me on a quest. See, today I'm still aspiring to understand human spirit. If God is going to lead us, said the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, like this light bulb now. If this light goes off now, we can't see anything. So God cannot do anything so much in our life without our spirit. So our spirit is so important, not our mind and not our body. So it should put us on a quest, to find out what is our spirit. It's been, today, I think I still have that, to go beyond the, which I want to do in first service, God helping us, I'm thinking of doing something like that. They call it in the psychology, depth psychology. They used words in psychology, if you did that, they said, human, there's the conscious and subconscious, right? But in Christianity, it's deeper than that. There's this body, you go below that, the soul, mentality, and down below that is the spirit. They use psychology, ego, ID, super ID, something like that. But Christianity, there's the body, which is the outward, then below that is the soul, and then below that is the spirit, which they call conscious and unconscious. But we have a name for it. It's called soul and spirit. We are the image of God as spirit. We will see as we read the book. I hope we make that open. But I want you to start thinking about spirit. Say that with me. I'm a spirit. Pastor, am I Iwe? No. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And then you live in a... Okay, thank you. Now, your soul is where you have your personality. But you are deeper than your personality. You are deeper. Let me give you, as we close, how to know these three parts. This is how you know it. Anytime you are praying in tongues, when you are praying in tongues, something happens. Your mouth is moving. Your mind is wandering. Who is speaking? Your spirit. That's one of the best ways to classify it. Paul said, when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays. So if you want to become more aware of the spirit, let's pray more in tongues. Right? Because our spirit, wow. So many of our prayers are soulless. They're not spiritual. Three things are noted as spirits in the Bible. God is a spirit. Second, man is a spirit. And third, Jesus said, my words are spirit. So when you open the Bible, it doesn't go to your head or your flesh, it goes to your spirit. That's where it makes the greatest impact. Let's give our offering. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you. As we give, we know your word is true. We welcome it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we are fed on spiritual food. Jesus himself is the bread of life, spirit life. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can start reading the book too. We'll drop it on the platform on the community tonight. It's one of the best things. I read it regularly. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the book opened with the prophet. Jesus said, I didn't send prophets to guide people. You can see the wreckages today. Where people go to spirit, they go to prophet. Hallelujah. It's been a wonderful, wonderful evening today. Let's read Hebrews 8, verse 1 again. This is the summary. What's the summary? Hebrews 8, verse 1. This is the main point of the things we are seeing. We have such a high priest who is seated where? Okay. John 14:28. This will make sense now. John 14:28. As we go home, do some summary. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. Now, do you understand that now? When he came here as a savior, sacrifice, there was nobody to help us make that sense out of that. So he said, I'm going to represent you there. I'm going to stay for you. I'm going to win the vote for you. Praise God. So tell yourself, Jesus is in heaven now for me. One day I was praying, reading my Bible, and I saw this. You know what came to me? We sing one song. I live for Jesus. When I read this verse and I saw this, I just heard this voice sing to me. Jesus sings in heaven. I live for Tunde. Put your name there. I live for Alice. I live for Beatrice. Day after day. Wow. Let's make that our confession. Can you get up on your feet? Say this with me. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is my bridge builder. I don't have any problem with the Father. I don't have any connection issue any longer. Jesus is my connection. Jesus is my high priest. And he understands me. He knows me. He knows my frame. He knows my personality. He knows my deficiency. And he knows my possibilities. And that's enough for me. Let's bless the Father for sending Jesus. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, we bless your name for doing all this for us. Our great high priest. Let's share the grace together. Just a minute. Before we say surely, just a minute. I just saw this so that you can go home and do that. There is praying to the Father. There's praying to the Father. But when you are facing issues, go to Jesus. You are looking for a way to handle stuff, talk to Jesus. When you struggle with things, he understands, he has lived there before. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Then he will talk to you by his spirit. Does that make some sense? Tell yourself again, he understands. He cares. So I can open up to him on everything. Hallelujah. Let's share the grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.